It's good to be here. Well, maybe not appear, but it's good to be here. This morning, we're going to be continuing on our study in Galatians 5. And the verses that I've been giving is from verse 15 down to the end of the chapter. I'm going to start off mainly, though, with verse 16 and try to, at the very end, fit in verse 15 into the message, time permitting. But before we do, let's just open up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we're able to be here this morning, that we're able to be in your presence, an opportunity to come to praise and to worship you. Father, we just give the service over to you, Father, that you would use it to your honor and to your glory. And the words that I speak this morning, Father, would be Spirit-led words. Words that you have put upon my heart to share this morning with each and everyone that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Very interesting this morning. Dave talked about blueberries. Phil talked about raspberries. Dave talked about olives. They're all fruit. And we're going to talk about spirit fruit this morning as well. I guess it's kind of a fruity morning, isn't it? So let's start off by turning to Galatians chapter 5. If you're using the Brown Pew Bibles, it's found on page 1815. That's 1815. Okay, starting off with verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware. Oh, thank you very much, Dave. Okay, starting off with verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Last week, Steve spoke on the first part of Galatians 5, verses 1 to 14. And that there was really nothing that the Galatians could do to pay for the free gift that they had received, the gift of salvation. If they were going to be circumcised, then they would have to keep the whole law. He used the example of me buying him a truck. And I think if I'm correct, it was a red Toyota, right, Steve? A Toyota, and he wanted it red. Okay? And this wasn't buying him a truck, but he also said that I would pay for all its gas, repairs, and insurance. And then he said, that if he was going to try to repay me for me by doing this for him, this nice thing for him, he was going to try to repay me, let's say maybe by doing nice things. But you know, that would nullify the gift. Steve, could you come up here for a sec, please? Come on. I couldn't get you a red Toyota, but I think I got the next best thing. It's a Ford.
Oh, thank you.
And it's four-wheel drive.
Oh, thank you.
And I promise I will pay for all the repairs, the gas, and the insurance for it. And you don't have to give me any more wood or do nice things for me neither. It's paid in full. You know, what Paul was trying to reinforce again in the Galatian Christians, it's the same thing. There is nothing that they could do to pay for their salvation. You know, the same applies to each and every one of us. You know, there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. There's nothing that we can really do to repay God for what He has done for us. We need to accept it. It's a hard attitude. But you know, in our human nature, we feel obligated. We feel we have to repay kindness. We just can't accept it sometimes. We don't want to owe anybody anything. I need to reciprocate. I don't want to be in debt to anyone. And sometimes that may even be God. So Paul starts off here in verse 16 by telling the Galatians what they need to do is they need to walk in the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I like the way the English Standard Version says it. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You know, but how do we walk in the Spirit? What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? Well, first of all, back in Galatians 4:6, Paul tells us this. He says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, wrong chapter, 4:6. And because you are sons of God, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Father tells us here, and tells the Galatians too, that you know what, they've already received the Holy Spirit. They are received His Spirit. We are told in a number of other places in scriptures, when we become a Christian, we already have God's Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 reads, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And in Romans 8:15, we read, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit, that's referring to God's Spirit, of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You know, do we really get that? Do we really get the fact that God's Spirit lives in each and every one of us that has accepted Christ as their Savior? That He is dwelling in us? That He is a part of us? I find that mind-boggling. I find that really hard to grasp around the fact that God's Spirit dwells inside of me. You know what? He lives in each inside of every one of us that knows Christ as our Savior. The word flesh here, Paul has used at least three different ways in some of his letters. The broadest use is a simple reference to kind of humanity. Another use is the physical body. My body. But the narrowest use, especially when placed in contrast to the Spirit, is when it refers to our sinful nature, which includes mind, body, and soul. In other words, it's me. John Piper has said it this way. The flesh is I who tries to satisfy me with anything but God's mercy. It is my ego which fills an emptiness, and it is my human effort that tries to fulfill it. In Romans 7, 5 and 6, we read, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Paul is telling us here that before we were saved, before the Galatians were saved, they were walking in the flesh. In other words, we were in these bodies of ours trying to work things out our own way, using our own human effort. Paul is simply telling the Galatians, if you don't want to carry out the desires of the flesh, you need to walk in the Spirit. The same principle applies to us as well. You know, the word walk has the idea behind it, to keep on walking. That is, to be walking continually. The idea here is each and every day of our lives unfold. Each and every step we take, we are under control of God's Spirit. To emphasize this, our daily lifestyle of living, our lifestyle, our daily conduct should be walking in the Spirit. It means to be under His direction. It's an attitude of submission to the Spirit. How we start each day is very important. Do we start each day by looking and asking God's Spirit to lead and guide us? Walking in the Spirit emphasizes His work in our lives, not ours. As He moves and leads us, all we need to do is simply respond. I like the way John Piper, another thing that he said that I found very interesting. He says, the Spirit is not like the leader of a pace car in the Indy 500. The purpose of the pace car was to get the race started. And once the race got started, he left. That's not the purpose of the Spirit. That's not what He's like. He's more like a locomotive on a train. We don't follow under our own strength. We are led by His power. So we walk by the Spirit means, or walking by the Spirit means to stay hooked up to His divine source of power and to go wherever He leads. Now, we can look at this verse 16 in kind of two different ways. We can look at it as a command. In other words, we're told, walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But we can look at it another way. That is, if we are walking in the Spirit, then we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. We need to walk by His power, His energy. Paul makes it sound so simple. No, if you don't want to fulfill the desires of the flesh, just walk in the Spirit. Let Him be your lead, your guide. And guess what? You won't fulfill the desires of flesh. But just a reminder again, remember what the flesh is. It's my ego. It's my human effort that I do. Okay? It's me living my life, whether to satisfy myself or even to please God. Getting a new job, retiring, even being up here right now, giving this message without the Spirit's leading. You know, if we rely on our own wisdom, we will make wrong choices. If we try to follow the Spirit by our own human effort, we will fail. Even in doing this message, my prayer all the way along has been for the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide me. It needs to be His message, not mine. I'm sure we all want to say, yeah, I am walking in the Spirit. I'm sure that's a wish of all of us. That's something we all want to do. But there's a problem. And we all have it. And Paul tells us that in verse 17. He tells us in verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. See, the problem is, as Paul tells us in verse 17, is our flesh. Because our flesh is opposed to the Spirit. It's leading. It's that part of me that feels I can do it on my own. I don't need to seek the Spirit's leading or input. There's a conflict that is going on inside each and every one of us, living in that way that we should, the way that we want to live, but we don't. You know, before I became a Christian, I didn't have this battle that was going on inside of me. There was none. I just did whatever I wanted to please myself, for my own reward, and to even sometimes please God. But since I accepted Christ as my Savior, there's a conflict that's going on inside of me. There should be a conflict going inside of each and every one of us. And that is that, you see, we have God's Spirit that dwells inside of us. And He's right there with us. And He wants us to live lives that are honoring and glorifying to God, and for us to be dependent on Him, to rely on Him. But there's that other part of us that functions apart from God, attempting to attain its own means. It's that part of us which functions apart from the goodness from God. And it remains in all believers. Dave read this morning Romans 7, 15 to 25. And we read of Paul's struggle here. Paul, the great evangelist, the apostle, and his struggles with the flesh. In verse 15, he tells us the things he knows he should do, he doesn't practice them. But the things that he hates, he does. He tells us of the conflict, this war that's going on inside of him. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am. If we were to ask ourselves the question, do we want sin? Do we want to sin? I'm sure we'd all say no. But guess what? We do. Have you ever asked yourself, why do I? I know I shouldn't. Why do I sin? Well, the answer's right here back in verse 17. It's because our flesh, our unredeemed nature, is at war with the Spirit who's inside of every Christian. And guess what? It does win. Just like Paul, we have the desire to do good, to do what the Spirit is leading us, but we don't. But back in Romans 7, verses 23 and 24, Paul has the answer to his dilemma. It is Jesus Christ. So then with my mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The flesh is that part of me that serves sin. So how do I deal with this? How do I develop my walk with Paul? As Paul has been telling the Galatian, we need to walk, be led by the Spirit. In Romans 13:14, we won't go there. Paul says, if we put on Jesus Christ, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walking in the Spirit is the very same as living a Christ-like life, which means letting Christ dominate my life, my thought patterns. Galatians 2:20, we read, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ died for us on the cross. And he lives in us. He's a part of us. You know, the Spirit's job is to point us to Christ. He opens our understanding of God's Word. He glorifies Christ as our authority and our example. Through God's Word, he instructs us how to live our lives and whom we should be like. For this to happen, we need who God is. We need to read and study his Word. The more we do, the more we study God's Word, the more the Spirit is able to use it to direct our lives. This is essential, so that we know the mind and the will of God. Prayer is also vital. Talking with God helps our relationship with him. Again, the idea of walking means it's ongoing. It's a daily walk. We will never come to the time when we can stop walking in the Spirit. We will never totally overcome sin in this life. But we can overcome it as a pattern. Our only way to freedom from lusts of the flesh is through the empowering of the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit, we need to have spiritual thoughts. We need to be in commune with God in prayer and be feeding on his Word, so his thoughts are our thoughts. As well, we can't feed the flesh. In Colossians 13:5, we read, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. We can't put ourselves in a position to entertain the flesh. Our focus needs to be on our walk with God. We have to constantly be renewing our minds and staying focused. When we are walking in the Spirit, the things of this world, they go dim, and the things from above become more and more real to us. But if we stay focused on the things of the world, we will fulfill the desires of the flesh because we will feed it. In verse 18, Paul tells us that if you're being led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Basically, what Paul is doing here is he's repeating verse 16. That is, if we are not under the bondage of effort to please God by works, if we walk in the Spirit, we do not need, if we walk in the Spirit, we are not under the law. We won't have a longing to gratify our fleshly desires. If we are being led by the Spirit, we are no longer under the curse of the law. Because the law required that, what the law required, the Spirit produced in fruit. The first characteristic of the fruit is love. Again, back in Galatians 4, verses 13 and 14, we read, For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The first fruit, or the first characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit, is love. And we're told here in verse 14 that the law is fulfilled in love. You know, the law, there are rules. There are rules that are given to man so that man, by trying to keep them, can control himself. You know, if we could keep the law, if we could keep it, we would be able to completely control ourselves. We would be completely able to control our flesh. We wouldn't need the Spirit. But we can't. You know, our human effort is connected with the flesh. Spiritual effort is connected with the Spirit. When we rely on human effort, it feeds the flesh. Even when we're trying to please God. You know, the question I've often asked myself, and I think it's a good question that we should ask ourselves. When I'm serving the Lord, which should be my mindset all the time, that's what I should be doing. Saying, Lord, how can I serve you today? Am I serving under my own human effort? Am I being led by the Spirit? Am I serving to gratify myself, my flesh? Am I serving to glorify God? You know, the Galatians, they started out on the right foot. And they started walking out by walking in the Spirit. And then self-effort entered in for them. They felt they had to do more than what they're already told that they had to do. They had to do more to repay God's gift to them. And guess what? They blew it. In verses 19 to 21, Paul gives us a list of the works of the flesh. He uses the word work here, and I think it's very appropriate because it's what our flesh does, that part of me that still sins. It's its works. You know, the works of the flesh are all the sinful desire of man's fallen nature. All these deeds of the flesh come within us and defile us. In Mark 7, verses 20 to 23, we read, and he said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile man. It's our sinful nature. It's that part of us, that fleshly part of us, that has not been redeemed yet. That's what defiles us. That's where sin comes from. But Paul goes on to say, he said, those who practice these will not inherit the kingdom of God. Very strong words. Practice here has a meaning behind it, to be doing it all the time. It becomes a pattern in someone's life. You know, all of us have probably done at least some of these things at one time or another in our lives. You know, we still have a sinful nature. And we may say, well, no, hold it. I don't think I've done any of these things. But we need to be serious with ourselves. Have you ever been envious of someone? Have you ever had selfish ambition? You wanted to get ahead of someone else? You wanted to do it for yourself? We talk about idolatry. Have we ever put anything ahead of God? Let's be real with ourselves. Yeah, we may not do some of the biggies there. We call them biggies. But we have done some of them. You know, we need to ask ourselves, though, But are they a pattern of how I live, of how I act? Do we do them continually? Or maybe just once in a while? You know, it's a good indication of whether or not we are walking in the Spirit. Our actions often indicate our character, who we are. However, if we are walking in the Spirit, what the Spirit does do is the Spirit produces fruit. Its characteristics are totally opposite from the works of the flesh. And we need to emphasize that it is the Spirit that produces the fruit. It's a natural byproduct of the Spirit living in us. Also, and us following Him and being dependent upon Him, not ourselves. A companion passage to this is found in John 15, verses 4 and 5. I'm not going to read it, but I think we know what they are. It's when our Lord makes reference to the fact that He is the vine and we are the branches. In order to produce fruit, what do we need to do? We need to remain united in Him, to live a life dependent on Him. It's the same here with the Holy Spirit. You notice that it says it's the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits, the fruit. It is singular. But you know what? It's made up of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It is all of these together that make up Spirit fruit. Just like if you divide an orange into 9 pieces, it takes all those 9 pieces put together to make the orange. You can't say that I have Spirit fruit and I have no peace. You can't say that I have Spirit fruit and I have no joy. Because those are all the things that are characteristic of Spirit fruit. Those are all the things that are evident when I'm really walking with the Spirit. But you know, there are times, and we all have had them, when I don't feel it. There are times when I don't feel love or joy or have peace. And there are times when I don't show it. But it's maybe at those times that I need to really ask myself, that we need to ask ourselves, are we really walking in the Spirit? Are we really being Spirit-led? You know, our actions are a result of the product. The purpose of the law was to help man abstain from sin. But the Spirit produces, it should grow. It should mature. It should develop in us. So you know what? No law is needed to restrain it. It's something that should flourish in each and every one of us. In verse 24, we are told that those who are in Christ have put to death the flesh, its desires, its passions. They have already been destroyed. They have been nailed to the cross because of what Christ has done. But our part, my responsibility, if I'm living in the Spirit, is to be walking in the Spirit. In closing, just trying to tie up verse 15 and verse 26. They're very similar when you think of it. In verse 15 we read, but if you bite and devour one another, beware that you consume one another. In verse 26 we read, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. They're similar in the fact that these are things that we should not be doing to each other. We shouldn't be provoking each other. We shouldn't be devouring one another. Those are things that we shouldn't be doing. In order not to do this, we need to love each other, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. My prayer for each and every one of us is to live Spirit-filled lives, lives that are honoring and glorifying to God. To do this, let's walk in the Spirit. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you once again for this time that we've been able to look into your word, for the truths that are there, Father. And I pray, Lord, for myself and for each one here, Lord, that our desire, our mindset, that each and every day we will want to be walking with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.